Welcome, all you sinners and sodomites.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Bible Stories for Atheists. This is episode 2. I'm Josh.
I'm Linz. I was just waiting to see how long we could go before I actually said anything. Just letting you flounder over there.
Right.
Apologies.
Yep. No, it's fine. It's fine. And we are your guides to the miraculously macabre stories the Bible is literarily littered with. That's a little
catchphrase. You will be saying that 100% of the time.
Yeah. That's just the new
I can't. Phrase. There's no way. It's too much alliteration.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good,
though.
I was
trying to figure out a way of working the word alliteration into that, too. I was like, that's too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, last episode, we started talking about a guy named Isaac at first, and then mostly we focused on his son, Jacob.
Jacob.
Yes.
I have done a little bit of research, and
I
come to you with some news.
Oh.
And the news
There's news about Jacob?
And the news is that when I was like Jacob's ladder, and you were like, no, dumbass.
That's exactly
you're the dumbass.
That's exactly what it was.
Because I Googled Jacob's ladder.
Yeah.
And it says on Wikipedia, which is a valid source of information.
Yeah.
Jacob's ladder is a ladder leading to heaven that was featured in a dream the biblical patriarch Jacob had during his flight from his brother Esau in the book of Genesis.
Right. So it was the stairway to heaven.
Yeah. That was Jacob's ladder.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe in other translations they translate it to ladder instead of staircase, which is an interesting difference when you think about the visual of
it.
Because it talks about angels going up and down it. Are they climbing over each other when they're trying to go back down? And other people are going up? Is one side of the ladder down and one side up?
I mean, that would make
up?
The most sense.
Probably make the most sense. Doesn't
Point
mean that's
being,
what it's doing.
You made fun of me. I was right.
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
When I Googled it immediately after the last podcast, and I've been sitting on this information this whole time, because every day of my life since then, I wanted to be like, Jacob's ladder is an actual thing, Joshua.
I'm pretty sure it's also the science experiment with the electricity.
It probably is, but
okay. Didn't come across that,
that's
though.
Besides the point.
That might be somebody else's ladder. I might be totally wrong about the name of it, but... Well, that's interesting. That's good to know.
Yeah.
So it's Jacob's ladder or it's the stairway to heaven.
Right.
It's one or the other. So yeah, we started the last episode in Genesis 25. Basically what we were doing was we were following this guy named Jacob. He was a twin. His older brother, like he was the second born. He was the second born twin, but his older brother's name was Esau. Jacob kind of screwed him over out of, like, all of his inheritance and his blessings and all that stuff with the help of their mother.
Right.
And then when Esau decided he was going to kill Jacob, Jacob took off, went to his mother's brother's house,
his uncle. And married both of his cousins.
Met his cousins, married both of them. His uncle tricked him into working for 7 years.
And then seven more.
And then seven more because Jacob didn't want to marry the first didn't want to marry the firstborn daughter with weak eyes. That was Leah. And then the only other thing to catch up on is that Leah, God saw that Leah was unloved,
right,
and took pity on her, and
gave her a baby.
So he gave her
because that's what all sad women deserve.
Yes,
children to raise
in an unhappy marriage. Here are some kids.
This Love will make God. It all better.
Yeah. So, yeah, in the meantime, Rachel presumably is being stopped from having kids because of God, right? That's how that kind of works out. So that kind of factors into where we pick up.
Okay.
So are you ready to go?
Of course.
All right.
I'm super ready to go.
Here we go.
All right. I feel like you're trying to take me on some sort of children's television show adventure.
I'm just trying to set it up for the intro music to kick in. So Genesis 30 is where we're picking up today. And I do think we're going to be covering a lot less than we had to in the last one.
Okay.
So
are you saying the Bible just goes downhill from there?
It really does. It peaked early. So Rachel is getting jealous of her sister, Leah, who has weak eyes, but more kids.
But a strong uterus.
Strong uterus, apparently. So she has Jacob take her servant, Bilhah, as his wife, because somehow Bilhah having kids would be the equivalent of Rachel having kids somehow. So Jacob goes ahead and sleeps with Bilhah. And they have a son. Now, kind of like Bill is not too bad, but most of these names I'm just going to completely screw up and butcher.
It'll be good.
And their son's name is really hard to quite get. So this is probably going to be wrong.
I don't think he's going to care.
that's probably fair. I'm going to do my best to get this right. Dan. I think that's right.
Is it Dan?
It's Dan.
D-A-N? Dan? His name is Dan.
Yeah.
They had a kid in North Africa, right? Let's presume, right? Northern Africa. They're in the Egypt area. And they looked at this kid and they're like, Dan.
Dan. Not Daniel.
Dan.
Dan.
All right.
Apparently, Dan here, according to the footnote, Dan here means he has vindicated.
Okay.
So idea is, I don't know if like he has vindicated Rachel or if it's like God has vindicated Rachel, something along those lines, I think is the idea to it. So
you don't know who the he is that has vindicated?
Right. Who's being vindicated?
Okay.
Right.
Just somebody vindicated something.
Somebody's getting vindicated with this baby.
Right.
With Dan.
Yeah. Poor little Dan.
Right. And this is also one thing I wanted to point out. Yeah, we talked about the whole Abraham and Isaac both, you know, going into foreign land, saying their wife is their sister, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. Abraham's case, it was true. This is another echo, actually, of Abraham's life. Back in Genesis 16, Abraham's wife wasn't able to conceive, so she gave him her servant Hagar to conceive for her, and eventually at the age of 90, his wife did in fact have a son who was Isaac.
Right. And Hagar had a baby whose name was...
That must have been Ishmael.
Ishmael.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Bilhah has another son.
Okay.
Then Leah starts getting jealous.
They don't name drop the other son? The second son doesn't get a name drop?
He probably did, and I probably just didn't write it down because I was
just,
like...
You know. I mean, if the first one's Dan, I was just really intrigued as to the name of the second. Like, what kind of...
Oh, yeah, I don't think
it was... Banana or something like that?
Dan and Banana?
Dan and Banana. If you say it fast, it's fun. Yeah. Dan and Banana. Dan and Banana.
So Bilhah has another son, and then Leah starts getting jealous because she's not having any more kids, so she gives her servant Zilpah as another wife to Jacob, and she has a couple sons. So far, no mention of daughters whatsoever. All right, so those are all the kids. He's really building up kind of a herd of children at this point, you know?
Well, that's what he's supposed to do, right?
Go forth and propagate, you know, and populate the earth. So Reuben, this is an interesting little story. Reuben comes home with some mandrakes.
Who's Reuben?
Reuben is the firstborn son.
Okay.
So this is Leah's
son. Okay.
Reuben comes home with some mandrakes, and Rachel wanted some. And then Leah was like, I'm kind of paraphrasing this, but it was basically along the lines of, bitch, you stole my man, now you want to take my mandrakes, is what Leah said. Rachel tells her that she can sleep with Jacob tonight if she can have some mandrakes.
Okay.
And then verse 16, I thought was kind of funny. So when Jacob came home from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him. You must sleep with me, she said. I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he slept with her that night.
Oh, wow, he's easy. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's having babies, no like, left and needed. Right.
Yep.
I mean, I pulled up the baby's names because I was curious after.
There's plenty of times they get listed out, yeah.
Well, and I found them because it's a nice little family tree they've created with the... So, Dan, right? And then Naphtali. Yeah. Naphtali. So, Dan and Naphtali.
Right. That was Billa's sons. Yeah.
She really didn't keep to any sort of...
Well, it specifically says that Rachel named Dan... Maybe Billa named the other one. Or maybe none of these people existed.
No, I mean, yeah.
Maybe
somebody,
there's that.
But the point is, somebody made up the two names
right,
at some point.
And put them
together.
They
came out of somebody's brain.
Yeah. And really, like, I was actually thinking about this when I was reading through through this. I was like, you know, some of these, like, might just sound normal to us because they're the ones that got picked up.
Yeah.
You know, to me. Like, we know Dan's.
Right.
And stuff, you know, but we don't know any Zilpas or anything like that, but
right,
you know, these are
it can might be completely fucking ignorant on our part too.
Yeah,
there may be millions of people with these names.
Yeah,
halfway across the world,
not in the U.S.,
not in Michigan.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, so Leah and Jacob have sex because, you know, she
bought his penis with the mandrakes.
With mandrakes, yes. Yeah.
Which is a root? What's a mandrake?
I think if I did like 10 seconds of Googling it, and between all of the articles about Harry Potter's creatures named mandrakes,
okay,
it looked like it was any root vegetable.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
So I'm not sure, but. Something along that line.
They use it a lot in witchcraft.
Yeah.
They do. It's like any movie you watch about witches, they're always looking for mandrake root.
Oh, really? So maybe it is an actual
root
plant.
Maybe.
A specific one.
Harry Potter's really fucked things up for that research.
I know. You can't really Google it. People are really interested in these screaming root plants from
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So anyway... As you might guess, Leah gets pregnant, so she has a fifth son, and then a sixth son, and then, you'll never believe this, after 9 or 10 sons at this point, Leah is the first to have a daughter named Dinah. And then, at that point, God remembered Rachel, unquote, and she has a son named Joseph,
okay,
who we will be talking about. Future. And at that point, Jacob goes to his uncle / father-in-law and says he's worked enough and wants to go home. Laban, his uncle, tries to convince him to stay. Jacob says he'll stay only if he can keep any spotted or speckled sheep or goats. And any dark-colored lamb. So basically, like, the dinged-up produce.
Yeah, you know? Keep them separate.
Yeah. He's like, if I can keep those, then that's good enough payment for me. Yeah, you know, just keep on working.
The uncle? Oh, no, Jacob.
For Jacob,
He wants the dinged-up produce.
He wants the dinged-up produce.
and take that as payment.
To keep working.
His bar is real low.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going to marry the love of his life, who was his cousin.
Right.
But then his uncle was like, just kidding, you're marrying this one. And he's like, all right.
But I guess I'll work another 7 years for the other one.
And then, I mean, I guess eventually he gets there, but then his uncle's like, stay.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, just give me the shit sheep and I'll be good.
Shit sheep.
The shit sheep. Give me the shit sheep and I'll be good.
Those are the sheep that they're using for a specific purpose. They keep these sheep by the outhouse.
Use them as toilet paper.
Yeah.
You wipe your butt on it as you leave.
So Laban agrees to this deal, but Laban goes out and takes all of that livestock out of the herd that he would have taken before he gets a chance.
Mm.
So he takes all that stuff out of there. So Jacob does this whole thing where, and it's described in the Bible you know, kind of an odd way, something about like setting up these certain plants near where the livestock were breeding. But basically what he's doing is he's marking the animals himself.
Okay.
Right. So he's putting marks on them and he's only doing it to the stronger ones. The weaker ones are going.
Then. He's making shit sheep.
Yeah. He's making shit sheep. Okay. Right. But then he'll only do it to the stronger ones, and the weak ones still end up going to Laban. And Jacob builds up a bunch of wealth this way.
So Laban says, yes, I will give you my shit sheep. And then he takes all the shit sheep out.
Yeah.
And then Jacob's like, I'll just make my own shit sheep.
Right.
And he takes a permanent marker, colors little dots and shit on them. Right?
There's something along that line.
Take some charcoal, graze them up a bit.
Right.
And it's like, okay, those are mine. And Laban's not like, I took all the shit sheep. Where did this shit sheep come from?
If there is any accounting for this stuff, it's not described in here.
Yeah.
Like, is Laban checking? I missed
what are clearly the strongest ones in the pack.
Right.
I missed those somehow. I guess they're yours now.
Right. Yeah.
All of these people get what they deserve.
Right. It's not far off. Yeah. Jacob hears Laban. Sorry. We're on Genesis 31 now. Jacob hears Laban's son saying that Jacob is ripping Laban off. So there's stirrings that he's ripping him off. And then apparently Laban's acting all shady towards Jacob. So the Lord shows up and he tells Jacob it's time to go back home. Mm-hmm. To, you know, his native land. So Jacob goes and talks to his cousin wives and says that their dad is mad at him and that God is making all the livestock speckled because their dad is trying to take advantage of him.
Mm.
So Jacob straight up lies.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the Robin Williams movie.
Right. Yeah. So Jacob basically lies because I guess apparently his wives weren't in on the whole thing.
Well, they're women, Josh.
Probably, I guess so.
Why would they be in on anything?
Yeah. Our cat is running around chasing his mouse right now.
I think it's a piece of thing from a thing from the microphones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
One of the Velcro things? Yeah. No wonder he's taking an interest in it. Something new.
Exactly. So if you're tromping around, it's don't worry. It's just a cat. Fat cat.
I think it just went down the vent. So I think we're good.
Oh, yeah, he's going to start meowing at it. So you might hear that as well.
Okay, so Jacob's lying to his wives.
Mm-hmm.
Wives. And then
his knives.
He says that God wants them to go back home. So Jacob gathers up the herd of wives, gathers up the herd of kids, gathers up the herd, and then they all start heading back. But before they leave, Rachel steals all of her father's household gods.
So like little statues and shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Exactly. It was kind of like rabbit's feet. Yeah, yeah. Like a lot of people would have these little statues around.
I mean, Catholics still wear like the saint.
I know. I was actually thinking during this, like, that is not far off from patron saints and stuff like that. Yeah. So 3 days later, it takes Laban 3 days to realize that they're even gone, apparently.
Well, he doesn't clean or anything. He's a man.
I guess. And
it was probably one of his wives that was like, did you notice that there's shit missing?
Well, it doesn't even say that he noticed the household gods being gone. It took him 3 days to realize, like, all of the people are gone. You know?
That is weird.
Yeah. Because they hightail out of there. They don't tell Laban that they're leaving.
Yeah, I imagine.
So after 7 days of chasing them, he finally catches up to them, right?
They're moving at us. Oh, I guess there's a ton of them and one of him, right?
Yeah, and they had a 3-day head start. Laban, the night before catching up to him, gets a message from God in a dream telling him, quote, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad, unquote. And I don't understand why God says this, because it doesn't seem to have much of an impact on what actually get said?
Well, because it's a non-thing. Don't say anything to him good or bad.
Right.
Just stick to neutral items.
Right. Just talk about the weather.
I mean, what kind of advice is that?
I don't know.
I really think that God is just like, he's been up Jacob's butt like his whole life.
Yeah.
And you think finally he's just like, oh, I just don't care anymore.
Yeah. Just
don't piss him off. You can piss him off if you say something bad. You can piss him off if you say something good. I don't know. He's weird.
He keeps lying.
Like, maybe just don't go, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I know you've come all this way. Go ahead and talk to him. Just don't make things worse. Laban shows up the next day, catches up to them. And he's basically like, why'd you run off? You didn't even let me kiss my daughters and grandkids goodbye. And by the way, why did you steal my gods? Right? And Jacob tells him that he was worried Laban was going to steal his wives by force. And that nobody took his gods. In fact, if anybody here has those gods, you can put them to death.
Right? It's the favorite.
Right.
And that's not going to happen.
Right. Is it going to happen? Would Jacob allow it to happen?
Oh, yeah.
You know, after working 17 years to be with her type of thing? You know? So Laban searches everyone's tents and doesn't find the gods. Rachel, little did he know,
put them in her vagina.
Had them in her camel's
vagina.
Vagina. Well, it says the pouch of the saddle. It doesn't really say it wasn't the camel's vagina. She had them in the camel's saddle.
Okay. All right.
He didn't look in the camel's saddle? Well, verse 35, Rachel said to her father, "Don't be angry, my lord. I cannot stand up in your presence. I'm having my period."
Is that what it says? Yeah. That's really what it says?
So he searched.
He
searched but could not find the household gods. That is verbatim.
It says the word period in the Bible?
I'll repeat the whole thing. Rachel said to her father, "Don't be angry, my lord, that I cannot stand up in your presence. I'm having my period."
They called it period?
Yeah.
Wow.
Again, for those who didn't listen to the first episode or anything, it's the NIV translation.
Right.
So, yeah, they called it.
I wonder what they originally called it. But anyway.
Menses. Well, I mean it's women have been using a different language.
Women have been using that excuse for a really long time. Yeah. You know how many times I got a gym class with that excuse?
Yeah.
Why didn't you change for class, Lindsay? I'm having my period.
Right.
And that somehow makes me incapable of doing anything physical.
Right. Like, she can't even stand up.
Right.
She's just like, I'm sorry, I'm busy.
Can't stand up.
I'm busy bleeding on my camel. So basically, Laban and Jacob bury the hatchet. Of course, Jacob took a stone, made a pillar.
Put oil on it.
He had all of the wives and kids gather up rocks to make a heap. And then, of course, they gave it a name.
What is it?
I don't know. I didn't bother writing. At some point, I can't keep writing down all of these damn names.
You gotta know what questions I'm going to ask, though.
I don't know what questions. Like, there's so many things you could be asking about on this. But they spent the night there, and then in the morning they go home.
Okay.
So Genesis 32. Jacob, by the way, is on. You know, they're getting close to getting back to his homeland. Genesis 32, verse 1 is kind of interesting. So Jacob went on his way, and angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." So he named the place Mahanaim.
Mahanaim. Mahanaim?
Yeah. I'm guessing it means something like camp of God.
Mahanaim.
And that's the last that gets mentioned.
Okay.
No idea if the angel said anything to him. the fact that he calls it Camp of God makes me think that one angel was like setting up a tent. Another one was maybe gathering some firewood.
Okay.
Another one's looking for a private place to shit in the woods.
Yep. That's the most important part.
Right. But no real context. But we know that that is why it's named the place it's named.
Okay.
So they're getting close to home. Jacob sends people ahead to his brother to try and make some peace. You know, let him know that Jacob's coming back and doesn't want to start any shit. When they come back, they told him that Esau was coming out to meet him.
Uh-oh.
With 400 men.
Drama!
So Jacob panics, and he splits everybody into these two groups, right? Including the animals. So if one of them gets overtaken, the other one's going to be fine, right? Mm-hmm. And then he decides to send a few hundred cattle ahead as a gift to Esau. And then we get to this interesting verse, this interesting passage. So I've been trying not to do like long readings,
right,
or anything, but
it's boring,
right? Like just kind of sticking to the summarizations and everything. But this is one that deserves
okay.
a good reading. I'm going to start off with the first couple lines from it, and we'll kind of go from there. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, who were his wives also, his concubines, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. So Jacob was left alone and wrestled a man with him until daybreak. Sorry, I read that wrong. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak.
A man?
Yes.
Okay.
So we're all on the same page?
Yeah. So he sent his wives.
Yep. And kids.
You said 11 sons. Didn't bring the daughter along?
Yeah, they didn't mention it. They didn't mention the daughter.
And then all of his stuff.
She ceased to exist for a little bit.
He's like on the other side of the river hanging out by himself.
All alone.
And is wrestling a man.
Till daybreak.
All night he's wrestling a man.
Right. We have no idea, like, did this man just, like, pounce on him out of the dark?
That he did.
You know, did he walk up and, like, was there some discussion? Ahead of wrestling, you know, no
Jacob
context.
Did Jacob find him on Grindr?
Right.
Send his ladies out of the room so he can get his freak on.
I know, there's something a little interesting to it.
Okay, so keep going, I guess. Is there more to it after that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get too far, because do they mention the wrestling after this? Say he wrestled a man until...
Yeah.
Do they go into what?
Yeah, go into the ending of the wrestling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to ask too many questions that are just going to be answered by what you're
offering. I gotcha. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, let me just read through. I'll read through the rest of the story real quick, and then we can swing back to it. So, wrestled with the man till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that the hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It's because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. And that's the whole story there. So, what stands out?
So many things. So, no explanation as to why the wrestling started. We never learned this dude's name. Although I've seen paintings of Jacob wrestling with an angel. So is the presumption that this is an angel?
Nope.
Or does he wrestle an angel later? Does he like wrestling? I think he might be gay.
I don't think wrestling comes up in the rest of his story.
Okay. So he wrestles a dude all night.
So who this person is kind of called out by when Jacob says, because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.
So it's God.
This is God.
So incarnate. God just blooped into the area.
Yep.
Is like, I'm going to wrestle with Jacob.
Maybe. I like to think that somewhere there was this poor young virgin who had to have a baby and had to grow this baby and raise this baby until it was an adult. Also that God could show up right here at this point and wrestle Jacob. Just a whole other virgin birth had to happen because that's the only way God can show up incarnate.
Is in a virgin birth.
I just like the idea of that. Right. I have no idea.
Right. No, I'm building the story in my head for like a second Christmas.
I know, right?
What can I get out of this?
This one's in July.
Okay, so he wrestles God, I guess.
Wrestles God, yep.
All night. He doesn't know it's God while he's wrestling him, I'm assuming.
I don't know, because, yeah, just out of nowhere... when God's like, let me go, for it is daybreak, he's like,
I'm a vampire, you gotta let me go.
Yeah. He goes, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So
yeah, and God was losing.
Yes.
And yeah. So he took his thumb and stuck it into the gap between your pubic bone, basically, and your leg. Yeah. Right, to like
basically dislocated his
yeah. And so now.
And was still losing, by the way.
And now.
It's worth pointing out that even still, he had to be like, let me go.
He's God.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't set up a good... Why would you be afraid of a dude that lost your fucking Jacob who fucks his cousins?
Right.
And wants dirty sheep?
Yeah. He wants dirty sheep. That just sounds bad.
Anyway.
So I found a couple explanations for this.
But also, like, now that's why Jewish people don't eat.
Apparently, I've never heard this before, but this is what's written in the Bible
There's a lot of dietary restrictions in Judaism, right?
I've never heard this one, but it might be.
What is, they don't eat of the tendon that connects?
Which I didn't know anybody even ate tendons.
Well, and like the tendon on a cow, like I get not eating a human tendon, but like that's not even the same musculature in animals that we have in humans.
Yeah,
that's a weird.
I mean, do cows really have hips? Yeah,
right. Exactly.
Right, but yeah, they're not. Apparently, according to this, Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip because of this.
Okay. Interesting.
All so right. I did find a couple explanations for this.
Okay, because good. I was really explaining.
I know. I was really curious. Like, what do Christians use as an explanation for some of this? One was that Jacob was afraid to meet Esau, and which is why he sent his family over, all of his cattle over, and stayed alone on the other side of the river. Therefore, he would have doubted that God would be with him, which is what God kept telling him in all those visions, that he would go and be with him.
Yeah.
And
so he had to come wrestle him like a big brother.
So God came.
Like, fucking listen to me, bitch. Stop hitting yourself. Like, Stop hitting yourself.
But it's like a big brother that's still weaker than his little brother.
Even though he's the, I don't know, all powerful and mighty God.
Yeah. So the idea is wrestling with God and surviving gave Jacob the bravery to face his brother, right? Mm-hmm. Another explanation I saw is that Jacob never received affirmation from his father, and he had to steal, because he had to steal Esau's blessings and inheritance and all that stuff. And this gave Jacob that affirmation. Both of those...
Wrestling with a dude gave him that affirmation?
Yeah. Both of those, I think, are bad explanations. The biggest problem I have with those, too, is that they add to the text. They add stuff that's not there.
Right.
Like, there's no indication in there that he was staying on the other side of the river because he was scared. And even, in fact, that ignores the fact that he's scared the next day when he does meet Esau.
Right.
Still. And the Bible doesn't say anything about him wanting approval from his father. There are times where Isaac would bless Jacob, and stuff like, so it, like, he had an affirmation from his father. And what bugs me about all that is, like, if that's the case, why wouldn't Moses, who was supposedly writing all this, why wouldn't Moses have just put that in, you know? If this is supposed to be the word of God, this is God's message to the people of Earth.
Yeah.
The people of Earth. Then we shouldn't be having to do mental gymnastics over this stuff. He should have just included the details to it, you know, to clarify some of the stuff. But
yeah. You said Moses wrote the book of Genesis? Is that the...
He wrote the Torah, the first five books of the Bible.
So... Man, did he need help with this?
Yeah.
He just... What a weird fucking... Just image to put in people's heads. Like, you send everybody across the river, and then poof, there's a dude, and you start wrestling him.
Yeah.
And it's all night.
Right.
All night. You know, you've watched MMA, yes?
Yeah.
After they get tired, after like 5 minutes... And they just look like they're hugging each other. So right. I just picture these two old dudes, because they're both old, I'm assuming. Jacob's pretty old, right? He was in his 40s when he moved to the place, and he's been there for 17 years. So he's late 50s, 60s, which, yes, people lived to be 200 back then, I guess.
Right.
But that's old back then.
Yeah.
Right?
The whole thing is kind of a ridiculous...
Picture them, like, very tiredly by the time daybreak rolls around, just rolling around. Just
slapping each other.
One of them with their thumb in, like, the leg pit. And finally, God, I guess, is like, all right, man, it's fucking daylight. Can we just stop this now?
Not until you bless me.
All right, fine.
That's what, like, one...
Your name is Israel now. I blessed you.
One thing that I did...
Just changes his name?
One thing that did pop into my head was the idea of... Maybe this was just, like, a roadside bandit that just showed up, tried to mug him, and then couldn't get it. Like, the Jacob was just too tough. Like, he even dislocated his hip and still couldn't do it. And then just as cover, he was like, I'm God. You know? And your
name's now Israel.
Your name's Israel now. Can I go?
And then Jacob's like, my name is Israel.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right, it is. It is. Everyone call me Israel. From now on.
He's like, you know, it's just you and me out here, right? Like, who are you talking to? All the people reading this. Okay, so anyway, that's Genesis 32. Genesis 33, this is a super short one. Jacob and Esau finally meet again for the first time. Turns out Esau is really happy to see Jacob, of course. He asked Jacob, what's up with all that cattle I ran into on the way here? And Jacob is like, it's a gift for you. Esau's like, hey, I'm really wealthy now. I don't need it. You can keep it. And they go back and forth.
Yeah.
And finally, Esau accepts them. And then Jacob buys some land and, of course, makes an altar. And that is Genesis 33 summed up for you, so you don't even have to bother going through it. Although you should. You should read all of this stuff. It's worth reading. If you doubt any of my summarizations, please read it.
Or you could not, because it's super boring, and just let Josh read it.
It is really boring. Genesis 34, verse 1. So this is actually quite a bit of drama here. It really is. Verse 1. Now, Dinah, we're actually going to hear about Dinah.
Oh, the daughter.
Yeah. This is the only story about a woman, I think, in the entire book of Genesis. I'm probably wrong about that, but...
Let's just go with it for right now.
It's one of very few. verse 1 of Genesis 34. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, Leah had born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. When Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, and he took her and raped her. His heart was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father Hamor, "Get me this girl as my wife." It's weird, isn't that?
I've already tasted puzzling. The goods. She must have had that good.
Well, I'm kind of wondering, like, does raped here actually mean raped? Like how we would define it. Like she was not willing. Or does it mean he stole Jacob's property? You know what I mean? Like, I kind of wonder if they were, like, young and in love. Mm-hmm. But, you know, pre-married. Mm-hmm. And premarital sex and whatnot. But, you know, it's hard to tell for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Knowing what I know about men.
Yeah. Probably raped her.
Probably raped her, yeah.
Yeah. Let's be honest. Probably did.
And then he probably was like, got a clean vagina. She's got a clean vagina. Nobody else in this land cleans their vagina. No. I gotta keep this one.
Right.
And then was like, "Hey, baby, how you doing?" And she's like, "I mean, you just put your dick in me and I didn't want it."
Yeah.
But my guess is, do they end up shagging up together as husband and wife? Or?
A little bit. A little bit.
It's a weird answer.
Yeah. Well, you'll see. So Jacob finds out that his daughter had, quote, had been defiled, unquote. And he's pissed.
Right.
And his sons are pissed.
Good. Thank you. At least somebody cares about
Then Hamor and Shechem come out to make peace with them. Hamor asks Jacob to sell Dinah to him. And says that they can trade daughters and cattle. Same thing. And they can all live together and get along, right? So Dinah, which is funny because, like, again, this is the only daughter that's been mentioned of Jacob's. Mm-hmm. So what daughters? Right. You know, there must, like, I'm kind of thinking there must have been more daughters.
Just didn't mention them.
If any of these people were real. There must have been other ones because they do kind of mention other daughters here, but... So Dinah's brothers replied deceitfully, quote unquote, to them. They said that they could not let their sister marry a man who isn't circumcised. Mm. They'll agree to peace if they have all of the men in the city circumcised. Then, quote, "Then we will give you our daughters and take your daughters for ourselves," unquote. You raise your hand.
Yeah, so I know that, like, circumcision is a big thing in Judaism.
Yeah.
Right? They have a whole ritual for it.
Yep. And that stems from, I totally forgot about this until reading through this stuff. Apparently that stems from Abraham. So
okay.
Isaac's father.
Okay.
That was
he cut off the skin of his penis.
Yeah.
And then was like, "Well, this was a mistake. Now everybody has to do it." Right?
I guess. I haven't read through the story again. I just came across it it stems from the covenant God had with
Abraham. He wanted his penis.
So I need to reread
the
details of it.
This is a story I would like to know about. Yeah. The penis skin story.
We'll get to it at some point.
The penis skin story sounds very intriguing because it's weird that God would ask for the skin of a penis, but
yeah,
whatever floats your boat, I guess.
Could be worse. Could be the skin of the nutsack.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it sounds like he just took the extra skin.
Yeah.
But so it started with Abraham. So that I guess that would mean like everyone that was in his little satellite ended up getting
his family
circumcised, right?
Yeah.
So that's how they know this guy's not circumcised because they're the only people who are circumcised.
You know, I want to say...
Or did he get his dick out? Or was the daughter like, "His penis has a hat."
His penis has a hat.
And I didn't...
It's different from everybody else's I've seen.
It was very weird. Yeah. She's British now. I didn't enjoy it.
Dinah.
It made me very uncomfortable. It looked like it was wearing a little tunic.
Right.
But then it got bigger. And the tunic went away.
I don't know why it reminds me of a camel. But it does. So yeah, I have no idea why they don't know that they're not serving. I'm pretty sure it was not common.
Right.
Right. Verse 18 is kind of funny. Their proposal seemed good to Hamor and his son Shechem. I doubt that.
Yeah.
But they do it.
They circumcise every man in the kingdom.
They do it themselves. They go out. They have all the men in the city circumcised. Not only that, like they asked the men to do it and they did it.
Yeah.
Like, which is way more unbelievable than God wrestling with Jacob.
Right.
Right. Like, this is probably the most unbelievable thing.
All these men were like, yeah, I'll mutilate my penis.
Right. For the cattle and the daughters they don't have.
Right.
So then, 3 days later, all the men in the city are still recovering from having a chunk of penis removed, and Simeon and Levi go in and attack.
Those are the two of the firstborn sons, right?
Two of the sons, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Go in and attack.
The city.
Just those two guys.
Just them. Go in, because everybody... has a chunk of penis removed.
And their dicks are sore, so they can't fight full force.
They can't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the last thing you want is, like, metal.
Jostling.
Right, because I would imagine they were wearing, like, leather or metal, armor.
It probably would have been leather, if anything.
And you really don't want, like, that rubbing up against your...
You don't want anything going on
there. Medievally circumcised dick, because
they were probably using leeches for bandages.
No local anesthetic.
No.
No sort of, like, Sporin to put on that shit so it doesn't get infected.
If I remember correctly, I've heard that it's a pretty serious surgery to have today.
Yeah.
If you're an adult.
Yeah.
So to do that back then, like, would be crazy. Like, you could die from it.
It's insanity.
So Simeon and Levi attack. They kill every single male, including Hamor and Shechem. They take their sister back, so she must have been over there.
Let's be realistic. This was like a kingdom of like 50 people.
I can't imagine it's like huge. Yeah. Like, it's probably just a gated community, basically. Right. So they attack the suburb. And they take their sister back. They loot the city and they take all the animals and all of their women and children.
Right.
Now, here's a tough question. Is that an overreaction?
To them raping the daughter?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think so? Like, because they had me until they took the women and children.
Well, what are the women and children going to do? Just hang out and run the city on their own?
That's a fair point, yeah.
Just make it a city of women and children?
Yeah.
While that sounds like it would have been the creation of utopia,
yeah.
And if we would have just let that happen, the world would probably be a better place right now. Yeah. Back in the day, one wasn't trustworthy of a woman running things.
Right. But I will say this. There's a lot of men who probably had nothing to do with with the raping and everything.
Bad day.
Yeah. That's fair. Also, it was only Simeon and Levi. Like, that's a lot to haul out of there, you know, for only two people.
Right. I mean, the story is ludicrous. And
at
the end of the day, yes, of course it's an overreaction.
Right.
I mean, killing the dad and the son, I mean, that seems fine.
Right. That I would totally have gotten.
Yeah.
I would have totally understood.
But also, like, those other dudes did probably rape people.
Yeah. they get home, and Jacob gets pissed at them because they are making Jacob, quote, obnoxious, unquote, to the people of the land. Because if all those other people decide to team up, they could wipe out the family, you know.
Right.
And then verse 31, and I don't really know how to take this, but... Verse 31, they said, but they replied, should we have treated our sister like a prostitute? So.
I mean.
Maybe they were good guys.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Maybe they were good guys. I don't know. I can't tell.
Yeah.
It's so hard to tell with this.
Well, So you're an only child.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't really understand the bonds of siblingship. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I understand that it exists.
Right. And if she was the only daughter, whilst not important to this story, still probably very important to her brothers.
Yeah.
And brothers are obnoxious and do tend to overreact, especially when you're filled with the sort of machismo that comes from having a father that wrestled all night with God.
Yeah. That's tough to live up to.
And also, like, might I point out, inbred. So probably a lot of mental issues. Mm-hmm. So it could be completely realistic that a couple of dudes... The ingenious part is getting them all circumcised first, because that makes it almost psychotic. Right? Whereas if they just went and rage-killed everyone, almost yeah. makes more sense than, like, the plot to, like... Have all of these men mutilate themselves
right.
in what is considered probably one of the most sensitive areas on a man, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then going and killing them all after they do all of
Three
that.
3 days later.
Yeah.
Like, so have that kind of foresight to
right.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes it a little psychotic. That part, something's wrong with that part.
Right. Yeah, so that's the story of Dinah. That's it. That's pretty much it.
Wow.
Like, she's not really talked about ever again.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's the only reason why we heard about her in the first place. So Genesis 35, God shows up to tell Jacob he needs to go to Bethel. You remember Bethel,
the rock.
Right? Yep, where
With
he was
oil.
Sleeping on the rock.
He saw the ladder.
He saw Jacob's ladder.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stairway to heaven.
Yep.
So he made that pillar and everything. Well, apparently the pillar wasn't good enough because now God's telling him to go there and build an altar.
Mm.
No idea why he needs to build an altar there, but that's what he needs to do. So Jacob tells everybody to throw out all their foreign gods that they have laying around for some reason. And you're probably wondering what is happening to Deborah at this point.
Who's Deborah?
Rebecca's nurse.
This is the first I've heard of Deborah.
Is it the first? Oh, yeah, that's right, because they never mentioned her before. Now Deborah, this is verse 8, now Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died and was buried under the oak outside Bethel. So it was named Alon Bakuth. So we've never heard of Deborah before.
Deborah.
And we will never hear of her again.
Right. But we know that she's buried under a tree
yeah.
at Bethel. And so they named it...
Alon Bakuth. Apparently, yeah.
Which means Deborah's buried here.
Probably.
Okay.
It means R.I.P. Deborah. Yeah, so never hear about her again. Verse 9, after Jacob returned from Paddan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel.
And Jacob was like, yeah, the homeless dude I fought all night already called me Israel.
Yeah, that wasn't you.
Who did I fight? Who tried to stick their finger up my butt and missed horribly?
Really fucked up my leg. Yeah, so this is the second time God names him Israel for some reason. And then there's this whole other round of you're going to have a ton of descendants. And Jacob makes another pillar.
Okay. In Bethel still? Another pillar in Bethel?
I guess. They're not being very specific about where they are with these places.
Right.
When they leave, Rachel gives birth again. And
the
of course,
son.
It's a boy. Yep.
Yes.
And she dies after childbirth.
Okay.
And then verse 18, as she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. So
his mom was like, your name is Ben-Oni.
Right.
And she,
which is kind of like if you take, it's what you call it when you take Uncle Ben's and you mix it with Rice Roni.
Ben-Oni.
Oh. Yeah.
Babe.
I know. I was proud of it when I wrote it.
And then she dies.
She dies. Jacob's with her like, last breath, she gives it this baby a name.
And then Jacob's like, no.
Yeah. No, Benjamin. I don't like that one.
Benjamin.
That's what I thought first. And then I read the footnotes. Benoni means son of my trouble, whereas Benjamin means son of my right hand. Mm. So it's kind of a sweet thing because he's saying Rachel is his right hand. You know? Jacob legitimately loved Rachel. Right, right. Like even when
and
we get
she
into,
was like, I've been nothing but trouble to you. And he's like, no, baby, you're my right hand.
I think she was saying this baby was the trouble. I think. I don't know for sure. But that's how I kind of read it. It was like that or maybe that Rachel was. Yeah, Rachel saw herself as trouble. I don't know.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't matter.
But, no, not really. But
I will say this. Like, even when we get into the story of Joseph, whenever, because Jacob still is a character at that point, you know, whenever Rachel comes up, it's always about how much Jacob loved Rachel, you know.
Right.
So this is pretty significant for him. It's also worth noting that this completes the 12 tribes of Israel.
Right. And so I knew there were 12 sons.
Yep, these 12 sons become the 12 tribes of Israel. And then verse 19. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath. And then in parentheses it says, that is Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar. And to this day, that pillar marks Rachel's tomb.
Does it to this day? Or does it just say that in the Bible?
It says it in the Bible.
Okay.
So to the day that was written.
Right.
It was
Which
still there.
Which just calls out that, like, this isn't being written as it happens.
Right.
I mean, we knew it wasn't. Yeah, but, like, that 100% calls it out. And then it's like, well, how does Moses know this story?
Because God's telling it to him.
God told him this story.
Yeah.
Stories, because you said he wrote
the whole
Torah.
I remember correctly, and this is going to be part of like when we do get to the Exodus story,
okay,
figuring out like reading through and seeing how exactly this all comes to be. But if I remember correctly, this is all being dictated to Moses when he's on the mount, in Mount Sinai,
right
there. So he's writing all of it down while God tells him all this stuff, and God's like, you know. So then I, you know, sent these angels to meet Jacob, and he was like, this must be the camp of God. And then I can't remember what else happened there. Just say that. Just say that. And we also, right, we called it Mannaheim.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
And Rebecca, she died.
Yeah.
And she gave her kid this name. And then, like, she died.
Yeah.
And then Jacob was like, mm-mm.
Oh, and don't forget Deborah.
Yeah. That's not going to be.
Who's Deborah? It's Rebecca's nurse. She also died.
It's not going to be his name. His name is going to be Benjamin because I love that bitch. And then we buried her and put a pillar. And the pillar is still there.
Right.
Moses. The pillar is still there to this day. You could go see it.
Yeah.
And Moses, for some reason, fucking writes that shit down.
Yep.
Right on.
And then this is, we're almost done.
Okay.
Actually, so we're wrapping it up. We're at basically the last big piece of drama for the entire story of Jacob.
Of Jacob.
Yeah. And it starts off with verse 21. Israel moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdal Eder. While Israel was living in that region, Reuben went in and slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah, and Israel heard of it. So that's how that kicks off, right? So Reuben goes in. And
son of Leah.
Son of Leah.
Right.
Correct.
Goes and sleeps with
Bilhah.
Bilhah,
the servant of Rachel.
The mother of a couple of his siblings.
Right.
Okay.
And Israel hears about it, right? Yep. So
I can't imagine he'd be pissed, though.
That's the thing. Is like, would it be? Is he gonna be pissed? Is he gonna be like high five? You know?
I don't. Yeah, because I would imagine he doesn't think of Bilhah and whomever
Zilpah
the other
is the other
as like anything other than like these ladies I put my dick into, and sometimes they push out babies.
Right. I guess.
And yeah. They also, like, take care of my wife.
Right. So this is what happens, though. So this is what the Bible does, right? So we find out that he sleeps with Bilhah, and that Israel hears about it. Jacob hears about it. And then...
Let's be clear.
Yeah.
Bilhah had the first children, right? Or was it Leah?
Leah did.
And this was one of the firstborn.
Because Reuben is the firstborn of Jacob.
But it's not like they're that far apart in age, all of the boys, except for maybe him and the newest one that just was born. So Bilhah's like significantly older.
Probably, yeah.
Than Reuben.
Right.
Significantly.
Right.
Okay.
So, Israel hears
about it. Did she want
it? I don't know. Why would they say whether or not it was consensual sex? Well, they didn't
use the word rape, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. So
she probably didn't.
Yeah. So Israel hears about this.
Okay.
And then they list off all of the names of Jacob's sons and their moms, right?
Okay.
That's it.
That's the reaction to...
That's it.
So Reuben sleeps with Bilhah.
Yeah.
Jacob/Israel hears about it, and then you get a list of the moms with the sons' names.
Yes.
So it's literally like, and Jacob hears about it, and now here's a list.
Here's a list.
Okay.
If you don't believe me, let me show you, because it's fucking...
That's the unzipping of his handy-dandy high school study Bible.
Right.
Which has its own leather case.
Yeah. For the leather-bound book.
Yep. Israel moved on again and pitched his tent. While Israel was living in the region, Reuben went and slept with his father's concubine Bilhah, and Israel heard of it. Jacob had 12 sons. Oh, man.
Yeah.
They just kind of jump over that.
Yep, it never gets talked about again.
Well, there's a little footnote down here, though, I'm reading. It says, Reuben's act was an arrogant and premature claim to the rights of the firstborn. Here, the right to inherit his father's concubine. For this, he would lose his legal status as firstborn. So there were consequences.
Not that warranted being talked about in the Bible.
Right. So where did this footnote come from? C49. It's from a whole different part of the Bible.
Yeah. So that's, yeah.
Okay.
So,
so what that tells me is he was like, I'm the firstborn. I get the right to all of my father's goods, including his ladies that aren't his wives. They're his concubines. And even though they're the mothers of my siblings, whom I love.
Well, you're making a presumption there.
That is true. I am making a presumption. I figured that since they saved the daughter, they all loved each other.
Well, Simeon and Levi saved the daughter.
That's true. All right. Point taken.
Right.
Moving on.
Anyway, so they read out the names, and then they get back home. Isaac dies at 180 years old.
Yep.
Which is still more believable than those guys getting circumcised. Yep.
He was still nailing it, too, I'm sure, up to that point. Those guys were fucking digging it deep until their deaths.
So one thing I noticed that was interesting about this, Isaac, the Bible says he's 180 years old when he dies. Mm-hmm. The Bible also says he was 60 when Jacob and Esau were born, which means Jacob is now 120 years old. At this point.
Which means Rebecca was also... No wonder she died when she in childbirth.
Right.
But you were saying...
Rachel died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what I said?
You said Rebecca.
Oh.
But I get those too. Yeah.
But you were thinking that maybe, like, obviously they're... Because the calendar that we follow wasn't invented yet, right?
Yeah. Oh, I was making a joke about how maybe they're counting every 6 months as a year, but I don't know that is true. And the tradition does not hold that that's the truth. The tradition is that these are talking about years. You would, it wouldn't be that far off for them to be able to count years, really, because you can tell the differences in the seasons.
Right.
You know, so, and they can count how many times the moon has gone through full moons and stuff like that, you know. I know, really.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was, used to be a whole ordeal. They might
have
just been
like, I don't know, I'm 180. I have no idea, actually.
I lost count at 30.
Really? He's like 60.
Right. They just really liked birthdays, so they did them all the time back then.
That goes against everything you know about the history of humankind, where, like, literally right now in the world is the longest humans have lived.
Right.
In years, like, our average age of death keeps getting older and older and older and older.
Right. As we have a better understanding of science and medicine, our lifetimes get older. Right.
Except for this little blurb.
As we get rid of lead.
Right.
And being in our systems and stuff like that. Yeah.
But.
Ages extend. Right.
Except for this 200 span years in the beginning of time, I guess.
It's more than that. There are several parts in the Bible where it goes through begats, right? So-and-so. It's these lineages, and they'll say, like, how long they lived. Mm. And it's interesting because it does kind of, like, it looks like it starts off at, like, lived 500 years, and then the next one is, like, lived 400 years, lived 300 years, you know? And it's like it was going down as you got further away from Eden.
Okay. I see.
I think that's how people think of it.
Gotcha.
Obviously, it's not real. No.
No.
These people did not live that long. No. And if they existed at all.
I mean, if she was having a baby well into her, let's say she was younger by like 30 years.
Right.
Which would have been gross, because that means when he married her, she was like 15. But that's also not outside of the realm of possibility. Right. But that means she was like in her 80s when she had the last baby, which is impossible.
Well, his grandmother had his father when she was 90.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah.
First of all, and like those poor women.
Yeah.
All you want out of life is to hit an age where, like, you don't have to keep pushing babies out anymore. And God took that away from all of these women.
Right. Yeah, there's no talk of, like, the change.
Right.
You know?
When they can stop having babies. When they stop having their periods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They never mention that.
You just have That's babies till you die, I guess.
Yeah.
Fucked up.
When did it start?
Right.
You know? Because you would think that would have been part of, like, having periods and stuff. Like, because I think periods are the curse of Eve, right? It's because she had...
an animal.
She was the one who was tempted.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So then God made her bleed out of her vagina.
Right. And then have pain during childbirth. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks, God.
Adam gets to be stupid and a follower, and literally nothing bad happens to him.
Right. Yep.
Orgasms feel really good.
Yeah. At least you guys got multiple orgasms.
I guess.
Genesis 36 is the last one we need to cover. It's really short. This chapter was pretty much just a list of all of Esau's kids and a list of all the rulers that came from them. Esau did leave the area, but it sounds like, it sounded like the area basically couldn't sustain all of his cattle and all of Jacob's cattle at the same time. So he moved on. What's interesting though is, like, when you go back to when Jacob stole that blessing from Isaac that was supposed to go to Esau.
Yep.
Isaac said to Esau that he would live away from earth's richness, you know, and would live by the sword and would serve his brother. Now, he did also say that when Esau grew restless, he would throw off the yoke of his brother. But the impression was that Esau was basically going to live an unsuccessful and unhappy life, right? And that doesn't sound like it's what happened
right.
to Esau. Like, he had a pretty decent life. Mm. He had a bunch of kids and a bunch of wealth and everything. So everything seemed to be pretty fine for somebody who didn't get that blessing.
Yeah. It's almost like it meant absolutely nothing.
Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't marry his cousins. Oh, no. He did marry a cousin, didn't he?
He did marry a cousin. Yeah. Because he first married
the Hittites.
Hittite women who annoyed Isaac and Rachel and Rebecca so badly. He was like, you know what? Fine. I'll marry a cousin. If that's what you want.
I can do that too.
Yeah. I can marry a cousin. That's fine. So yeah, and then that's pretty much it. That's the story of Jacob. I mean, he does, like I said earlier, he does continue on into the story of Joseph. He's part of the
right.
He's a continuing character, but that's really the story of Joseph at that point. Joseph. Yeah,
not the Joseph stepfather to Jesus.
Correct.
A different Joseph.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So I had some thoughts
oh.
as I went through these. So, you know, reading through all this, I was like, yeah, there's stuff that kind of comes up
mm-hmm.
that I'm thinking about. One thing I thought was interesting that stood out to me about going through all this is how God seemed much more like a character that just kind of pops in, you know? He like,
right.
Sometimes he changes Mr. like Furley. The direction. Sometimes, what?
Like Mr. Furley.
Mr. Furley?
Yeah. Three's Company.
Oh. I never watched Three's Company. I never did. I just never caught it.
All right. Well, lost reference on you.
I feel like there's a lot of, like Tim Allen's neighbor and Wilson. Winston? Was it Wilson?
Wilson?
Or Winston?
Wilson.
Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah, like characters like that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's, God was the Wilson.
Ah.
This. He was like, howdy, neighborino. You're going to have a bunch of descendants.
And your name is now Israel.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So he seems much more like a character that just keeps popping in. Sometimes he changes the direction that people are going, but a lot of the time
it just sounds like he's cleaning up Jacob's mess. And before that, his father's mess. And
well, a lot of time he doesn't have any sort of like real reason to be showing up at all, too.
Yeah.
Like the angels showing he's up. Bored. Like the angel showing up where it's like, we're just naming it this thing now, you know? And there's a lot of him showing up, telling people what they've already been told. Like he feels much more like a plot device.
Yeah.
Than he ever seemed like when I was younger reading through these.
Well, it definitely, so like, obviously me not being super religious or really getting into any sort of religiosity when I was younger, like God always seemed like this, they always sold him as like this all powerful sort of being, right? Who like is all knowing, all seeing, all powerful, like the nothing is above him sort of thing. But then you hear this and it's like, well, Jacob beat the shit out of him.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe. And also like he spends a lot of his time being like, hey, man, that is his actual wife and not his sister. Don't have sex with him, her.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. Like he's doing a lot of like reverse wingmanning.
Wingman. Like where you talk shit about your friend in front of women.
Yeah.
And it really hit me. I'm convinced at this point that all of these stories are basically just to explain why places are named what they're named. Like that, it just keeps coming up right. over and over again. The story about Deborah or right. lack thereof. Yeah, we just find out that who she is, that she's dead, and that's why they named this place that place.
Yeah.
Historically. You read through this stuff, and if you're really looking for it, like it'll just pop right out to you that this is all they were really trying to do, I think, with this. The other thing is, we talked a little bit about this last week, was just how there are people, a lot of people out there who literally believe this is true.
Right.
They believe the Bible is literally true. They read the repetition of these stories, like with Abraham, going into the foreign land, saying that his wife is a sister. He does that twice. Isaac does the same thing with even in one instance, the same guy that
right.
Abraham did it to. And they believe that literally happened. You know, they believe that God showed up in the middle of the night and wrestled with Jacob and was unable to overpower him. And so he dislocated his hip and had to be like, let me go. The sun is coming
up. Wouldn't that make Jacob better than God?
Right.
Wouldn't that?
Yeah. By the way, one of the explanations for that is that when they were giving the explanation, they said God let Jacob overpower him.
Of course.
But then dislocated his hip and still had to be like, let me go.
Well, just his God vessel's hip.
What's that?
Just his God vessel's hip. Oh, no. God dislocated Jacob's hip. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. God dislocated Jacob's hip. Yeah. So it's funny to me that these explanations that people come up with, because that's what I kind of came back to was I was thinking about how did I believe in any of this stuff when I was younger, right?
Good question.
Like, what was it that keeps you
right
in it, you know? And what I come up with is these excuses, these explanations and excuses
mm-hmm.
where, like, you have to, you know, there's this thing where, like, God allowed Jacob to overpower him, but that's not written there,
right?
You know? Jacob was scared of crossing the river, but that's not written there. So you have to add or remove from the text itself in order to get these explanations to make any sense.
Right.
And if this is God's message to the world, he should have gotten it right. Like, if it's not in there, it's because God didn't want it to be in right. there.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, that's where right. that logic has to go.
Right.
And if these explanations don't work, they give you these excuses like things get lost in translation. Cultures were different back then, mm-hmm. or it's not for us to know. You know, and these are all just empty answers.
Yeah, for sure.
That they give you because it prevents them from having to say, I don't know.
Right.
And I really wish Christians had the guts to just say, I don't know more. Because maybe if they did, maybe if instead of giving these empty answers, they just cop to the fact that they don't know, they would realize how often they have to say it.
Yeah.
You know?
That sure would be nice.
Yeah. And if those excuses aren't good enough, then you stop believing that the Bible is literal, which is a phase that I went through for a while. And you think all of these are just allegories and parables, you know, stories meant to impart a moral lesson.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it sounds like they were using them as historical texts at some point. If they were just like, this is why this is named this. And like a family tree, like this person came from this person, that came from this person, came from this person.
Right.
It's if you don't keep track of that shit, then you end up fucking your cousin and not knowing it.
Or you do and you're fine with that.
Instead of making the conscious decision that you are. Yeah.
Right. But that's, you know, the entire idea that these were moral lessons, though, are an excuse as well, because these stories that we've read, there are definitely moral tales
within the Bible.
There are definitely moral tales in the Bible, but these are not those stories.
Oh my God, they're terrible people.
They're all terrible people.
It's like watching a very early version. Right. It's like watching a very early version of like Seinfeld or It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Where like you kind of enjoy watching what the characters are doing, but the whole time you're like, oh my God.
I would never hang out with these people.
These are awful people.
Yeah. Yeah, like Laban never finds his gods and is never confronted with the moral dilemma of killing his daughter. Esau ended up with a good life despite not getting blessed. Jacob had no repercussions from stealing his brother's blessing or deceiving his uncle by marking that cattle. Yeah. Dinah may or may not have been raped, but either way, her brothers killed a lot of people who had nothing to do with it and took their women and children. You know, these stories don't have any sort of moral lesson.
Right.
And
other than like believe in God and it'll work out for you.
Yeah, in theory. But even then, it doesn't seem to always work out for you.
Right.
You know? And it seems to work out fine for people who don't believe in God, too. Like, it really goes, like, you know, like Esau, I don't know if Esau was a big believer or not, but
well, you have to assume he was.
Maybe, yeah. But yeah, like
why else? I mean, he had to have come to terms with like, I didn't get killed at childbirth. There must be a God.
Yeah. I'm all hairy and red and everything. I look like a werewolf.
I have wives.
Yeah.
Plural. Children.
Right.
And I'm a big red hairy man. Mm. So things are working out Esau.
Yeah. So all that's to say this, like if you're not raised in Christianity and you read these stories, it's really hard to understand why people would believe any of it.
That's so true.
You really need to turn off your critical thinking and just decide to believe in that stuff. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's faith.
Okay. Right?
You are choosing to decide. You're just deciding, I'd rather live in a world where God exists. You know, and I have nothing but understanding and respect for somebody who makes that conscious decision of saying, you know, I just rather live in a world where God exists. I'd rather live in a world where this is true. But you have to make that conscious decision.
Right.
You know, you have to understand that you are choosing to believe in this. That's the entire purpose of faith. If you knew that it was real, you wouldn't need faith.
Right.
Right. And you just can't. You can't fault people, though, who don't believe in it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of good reasons to not believe in it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a decision you're making to believe in it. And I think it's really unreasonable for God to fault anybody for not believing in this.
You really think it's unreasonable that God would fault? So, like, what you're saying...
If God exists.
Right. Which, let's pretend that God is real. You're saying that a God who is a God, who is God, like, gets that there are people who don't believe in him because he knows what these stories are and he understands that they're really shitty.
Yeah, he would be like, oh, yeah, I left a lot of holes in those.
Yeah.
It makes sense. You
know? Yeah.
I really don't think if God did exist, I don't think he would have been behind the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't think he's...
Yeah.
If there was this loving force.
Yeah, but not everyone believes God is a loving force. Some people think God is a vengeful force.
Right. And I think they're wrong.
Yeah. I don't think anybody believes God is right.
I think if there is a God, it's not going to be a God that's vengeful. And if it is, why would you fucking worship him?
I mean, so he doesn't kill you.
Well, yeah, but
that's why people worship Zeus.
That's the problem with that theory, though, is he'll kill people at random.
Yeah,
you know, like it really doesn't matter who you believe, like what God you believe in. Everybody's going to die at some point,
right?
And, you know,
but you don't want to die. You don't want to die. You don't want to like die from like a God attack.
A God attack.
I would imagine that would be the worst way to die.
A heart attack.
Yes, but with God. So, like, in Greek and Roman mythology, right, you had Zeus, who was a vengeful, jealous god.
Right.
But you had other gods to temper that, and the gods would fight each other and stuff like that. So, but people worshipped Zeus, even though he was a vengeful god.
Yeah.
And a horny god.
And he was a horny god.
He was a horny god.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know. And people will totally worship this god. Believing he is a vengeful god. I'm saying, though, why would you want to?
Right.
You know, and that's my point. Is like, if that's really what the nature of that god is like, then why would you cave into that?
Right.
That's obviously not wrong. You know, or that's obviously wrong. You know that that is wrong. And it's a stupid thing for a god to be, too. Like, it's really...
Well, makes him a,
you
makes
created
him a
the entire universe, and you're threatened by these bacteria on a mud ball.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
like I don't know. I just don't get it.
I mean, I don't get any of it, but
I respect. Like, and like I said, though, I do sincerely respect people who make that conscious decision to believe.
Yeah.
And find comfort in faith, and I totally get that
for sure.
But you just can't blame other people for not believing in it. Like, you just can't hold that against people because there's good reasons to not.
Well, and at the end of the day, it shouldn't fucking matter whether whether you're Christian and I'm not, or you're Jewish and I'm not. Like, at the end of the day, it shouldn't matter. It literally means nothing to, like, the way we exist in society these days. I could go years and years and years and years and years without wanting or caring about what religion somebody follows until you try to be like, hey, Lindsay, why don't you come to church with me? And then we're going to have a discussion about how that is outside the bounds of the friendship. Right. But, like, it doesn't, you don't need to know somebody's religion to, like, exist peacefully with them in this world.
Right.
It shouldn't matter.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But anyway. It's unfortunate.
But we got through the story of Jacob.
We did. And there's much more to come, I'm sure. Lots of fun. Fun stuff coming up from the Bible.
Yeah, so next episode, maybe we'll do the story of Joseph. Maybe we'll do something else. Maybe we'll do a one-off.
Okay.
You know, got to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, I can't know where we're going because I'm not going to read ahead. Let's be realistic. No, never in a million years.
No.
I tried reading the Bible once when I was younger, and I... Mm-mm.
No, nope. Not for you.
Oh, no. Sleepy time for Lindsay. Yeah.
It's true. You fall asleep very easily.
I do.
And, oh my God, some of these verses.
Yeah. I almost fell asleep a couple times just while you were talking.
Yeah.
So.
That's a good sign for our podcast.
My bad.
This is going well. But no, that's cool.
Well, the end.
I can't remember, like, did we come, we didn't come up with any sort of,
no.
And I did not put any thought into this.
No.
Like, what is our sign off for this?
Yeah. So what's the, what did they say at church before you ended church?
Before you end church?
Yeah.
Goodbye?
Did they say goodbye at the end of church?
This might be Catholic specifically, but there's peace be with you.
Yeah, and also with you, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think is at the end.
They say it a lot.
Yeah.
Not just at the end.
Right. Yeah, I can't remember how they sign off at the end of church. Like,
go forth and propagate the species.
Right.
We'll see you next week.
Right. Yeah. All right, that works. We'll see you next week. Or next time.
Yeah.
Whenever we post another episode.
Sure, and we won't actually see you because this is a podcast.
Right, that's not how space works.
No. All right, bye.